Now we start having the problems. Here's where the Jewish problem begins entering in on a religious basis. Okay? So they had no small stir. They had disputations. In other words, they had a heated, knock-down, drag-out argument is what they did. Okay? Now, verse 4, and when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church of the apostles and elders and declared all things that God had done with them. Verse 5, but there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed. But that didn't mean that they gave up all their traditions. They believed that Jesus was the Lord. Just like anybody else, they didn't want to get rid of some of the things that they believed. And it was really harder for them because it was not like coming, say, out of Catholicism into the Church of God. That's an easy thing compared to this. This was a very difficult thing. After all, they were God's people. After all, they had been right. After all, Christ was of the tribe of Judah. Okay, they believed. They were good guys now, see. But they said that it was needful. Now, the word needful here means it is obligatory to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now, that's where everybody doesn't understand what's being said. The law of Moses to the Jew includes what? To the Pharisees includes what? All the traditions, as well as the law of Moses. That's what that really means. Now, we'll come back to this and deal with this at a later date in greater detail. I just want to go through this and show you the time setting where the problem began, because this reflects greatly in the book of Galatians. But notice it was the sect of the Pharisees, certain ones. They believed. But I want to ask you a question. Does that necessarily mean they were all converted? I don't know. You read John the 6th chapter where there were many Jews who believed in Jesus. Then when he told me, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood, those who believed on him turned their back on him. So we don't know the situation with the Pharisees, except they were causing a lot of problems. Now, let's come to chapter 16. Let's come to chapter 16, and we'll see some of the things that we have here. Verse 1, and then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, which is Timothy, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, who was, or which was well reported of by the brethren that were in Lystra and Iconium, him would Paul have to go forth with him. Now, Paul desired to take Timothy with him. That's what that awkward sentence says. And took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. Now, he had him circumcised so that the Jews wouldn't cause him any problems. In other words, Timothy then would be allowed to come into the synagogue when Paul would go into the synagogue, because that's where Paul would always go to start. But notice the pressure here, and I'm sure that that was from Jews within the church. Now, apparently, they were much more intimate in their investigations of people than we would think of today, you know. All right? A little humor as we go along here. For they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now, let's come to chapter 17. Let's come to chapter 17. Let's pick it up, and we'll just start right out here in verse 1. And when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, and there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them 3 Sabbath days and reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered, risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And that is, in Jewish terminology, Messiah. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few, but the Jews, which believed not, notice again where the resistance comes, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar. Now, are there people who would cause riots? Is this a AAA rent-a-mob to go, you know, as it is in today's terminology? Yes, it is. To go do some of these? Yes. Okay? Tactics haven't changed much, have they? Okay? And assaulted the house of Jason. I don't know what it means to assault. It says, baser sort, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. Now, if we could somehow, with our television mind, sort of equate some kind of picture that was going on there, there was a near riot, yelling and screaming, demanding that these people be brought out, okay? And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, saying, these that have turned the world upside down are come here also, whom Jason has received, and these do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying, there is none other king except one Jesus. And they troubled the people, the rulers of the city, when they heard these things, and when they had taken security of Jason and of the others, they let them go. Okay, now it's going to build up even more, as we're going to see a little later on. Now, how many heard of the recent ruling back in New York? There was a marriage between a Jew and a Catholic, which resulted in divorce, in which the court ruled that the children would have to be Jewish, go to Jewish synagogue. Point I'm making is, do the Jews to this day resort to civil means to execute what they want done? Answer, yes. Same thing they used here, went to the magistrates, right? Okay, now, let's come to chapter 18. Chapter 18. And verse 1. And after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born of Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. Now why? I mean, read this book here, it'll tell you why. They set the city in an uproar. They rioted. They looted. They killed. And there's even an allegation in this book, Israel, Our Duty and Dilemma, which may be true. Why did the Emperor Nero hang the Christians on the crosses and burn them for burning the city, allegedly? He did it under the advice of his wife, who was what? A Jew. Have things like that been done? Yes, many, 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 many things. Okay. Who are we going to be confronted with, brethren, in this end time? The synagogue of Satan, which is going to be, if you read this book, epitomized in what? Humanism. Humanism is a secular expression of all the religions of the world out of Babylon, including Judaism. That's why we're admonished to beware of those of the synagogue of Satan. Now that's why, and I want you to understand what has subtly happened in this political campaign about family values, traditional family. That's telling a message. That's Bible over here, okay? Husband, wife, children, family, together. Versus family over here, that is anyone who agrees with humanism. You can be a homosexual, you can have children. You can be a lesbian, bring up your own kids. You can be a homosexual and teach in the Boy Scouts. You can have no God taught in school, atheism, teaching sex in school. Those are the other values over here. So even in the political scene today, there's this great chasm between the two that's going on. But they dare not say the Jews. But everybody over here on this side who's saying traditional values knows that they will not get a thing printed in the Jewish press or the Jewish media or the Jewish television or the Jewish movies, which they all are, and you need to check it out to make sure what I'm saying is true, they will be totally blackballed. So they have to code what they're saying. And what did they say with the ALCU flap that we had, remember? See? Had to be coded. I mean, we need to realize the same thing that was going on then in starting, still going on today. Okay? Now, verse 4, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Okay? Then, verse 5, when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. So apparently three Sabbaths he was in there persuading the Jews and the Greeks that were there. Then he let it loose on the fourth Sabbath. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, I can almost see this in a movie. Just picture this in a synagogue now. Paul up there preaching. When they opposed themselves and blasphemed, Paul took his raiment and shook it. Just took his clothes and shook it, just like that. You know. And said unto them, your blood be on your own heads, I am clean. From henceforth I go to the Gentiles. Woo! Tough. I mean, tough. I've never preached like that in my life. You know. Paul did. Good thing it was one Jew against another. Can you imagine what it would have been if God would have called a Gentile apostle to go into the synagogues of the Jews? Can you imagine? Christianity would have never gotten off the ground anywhere. So he departed from there, went into a certain man's house named Justus, who was one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his household, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Boy, I tell you, then he stayed there, a year and 6 months. So he had a wild time there. Now notice what happened down in verse 12. And when Gallio, it's almost like Gallo, this was not the first winemaker, by the way, Gallio was deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law. That means contrary to Judaism, brethren. They always hide behind the law. They hide behind the Torah. They kiss the Torah, but they don't keep it. Okay? And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O you Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it is a question of words and names and of your law, you look to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. And he drove them from the judgment seat. Then all the Jews took Anyway, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. So the Greeks had their come up back on them. And Gallio cared for none of these things. So anyway, then they left. Okay? We'll get into some of the other things later. Chapter 19. Came to pass while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and found certain disciples. And, let's go on here. He came to Ephesus, had to rebaptize them because they had not received the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, He went into the synagogue, spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when different ones were hardened and believed not, but spoke evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them, separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. So he continued there 2 years, and all that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. God worked special miracles. Okay, then we come down to verse 13. Then certain of vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over to them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." Now there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and a chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. That must have been quite a bloody fight. I'd have to say maybe Arnold Schwarzenegger, this was one of his one of his ancestors. No, I'm just kidding here. And it was known to all the Jews and Greeks which also dwell at Ephesus. Fear fell on them. The name of the Lord was magnified. Now we find a situation coming then where the idol business was affected. The idols to the goddess Diana were being affected. So they had a big uproar with the Gentiles. That's the first one that he had a big uproar with. Let's come over here to chapter 20 and verse 1. And after the uproar had ceased, Paul called unto his disciples and embraced them, departed from Macedonia. And when he had gone over these parts and had given them much exhortation, he came to Greece, and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he proposed to return through Macedonia. So they were out there waiting for his life. Here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11 for just a minute. 2 Corinthians 11. Paul doesn't tell us all the things that he went through, but here he gives us just one little summary. Let's pick it up here in verse 23. 23. Speaking of these false apostles. He said, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." 5 times. That's the only place it tells us. It doesn't tell us in the book of Acts that he received the whip. You know, 39 stripes. Imagine his, you know, if we saw the body of the Apostle Paul, remember Jesus said, "I called you to show you the things that you must suffer for me." He had scars, you know. I mean, you get hurt a little bit, I get hurt a little bit, you show me a scar, you know. I'll show you a scar right here. Yeah, right there. I had a wart cut off when I was 9, 10 years old? I remember that. I had blood poisoning clear up to here. But think of Paul. He was stoned. His eyes were real ugly. His back was laced open because of these 5 beatings. Now you know why the book of Hebrews says you haven't resisted unto blood yet, striving against sin. I mean, we've gone through a few little tiddlywink things. I mean, really, compared. I mean, what we've gone through, brethren, is nothing compared to what this is. Okay? 5 times. Notice. 3 times I was beaten with rods. That's in addition to it. Once I was stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. I mean, it's a disaster for us if we have a flat tire on the way to church, right? How about on the ocean? You have a shipwreck. It goes down from underneath you. Whoop, this tub is sinking. You know, grab a log. I know the first thing my wife would say, the sharks, you know. Okay. A night and a day, I'd been in the deep. I wonder what his prayer was. Holding on to, you know, a day and a night, out in the depths of the ocean, holding on to something. God is all-powerful. God is all-wise. God knows everything. You know, if he didn't believe in God, he would say, well, if you are God, why would you let me go through this? You know, there are people who take that point of view. There are people who leave the church of God because they have a little trouble. Saying, if God be God, surely wouldn't let this go on. Hey, look at the Apostle Paul. What did he say when he was done? He said, I've run a good race. I finished my course. I fought the fight of faith. And now there's a crown of life laid up for me. And imagine by that time, he was creaking and, you know, and his bones. And, hey, if you have a hip broken or something, that'll affect you the rest of your life. You know, your son who had that wreck on a motorcycle, that his leg is going to be affected the rest of his life, sure, because of that. Okay? How about the Apostle Paul? I really felt sorry for the Apostle Paul. You know, I'm going to be very cautious in taking my complaints to God, you know. And just thankfully he hasn't come back and said, now, come on, grow up. Don't be stupid. You know, sometimes you have to, God will give you an answer a different way. Okay? A night and a day I'd been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness, and besides all those things that are without, that which came upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Okay, let's go to first. No comment, just let it sink in. If you don't believe it, go back and read it again. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. First Thessalonians 2. And verse 14. He's talking to the Greeks here. It says, for you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as we have of the Jews. Now, how convenient would it be to on Sabbath just to stay home because you might have a Jew throw a rock at you on the way to church? Possible? Yeah, it's very possible. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they have pleased not God and are contrary to all men. And you know, it is absolutely amazing. The greatest writings against the Jews are by Jews. This guy is a Jew, by the way, who wrote this. Okay? Paul, no doubt, was a Jew. No, anybody doubt Paul was a Jew? No doubt about it. So, lest anyone say we are anti-Semitics, we're not. We're reading what Jews have written about Jews. Okay? We're not. Like I said before, I'm torn in between. I know a Jew who is one of the nicest men I have ever met. Nicer than some people that were supposed to be ministers in the Church of God, huh? Okay? So, don't get to thinking I'm blaming Jews are pointing it out, you know. I'm just reading what has been written about the Jews so that we understand what that problem was with the Church of God. Now, let's just finish up just a few more places. Let's go to back to the book of Acts again. Back to the book of Acts. Okay. Just for sake of saving time and all the reading, I'll just tell you, read chapter 21, 22, 23, you know, all the way through to the end of the book of Acts. And you show how the Jews would come down and they would put the pressure on to try and get Paul killed. And especially read there when Paul was arrested, you know, they had spies up there. He went back came to the apostles and said, now look, Paul, you're in trouble. The word is coming, and we know it's not true, Paul, by the way, but there are a lot of the brethren who are zealous of the law, and the word is coming back that you're teaching contrary to the law of Moses. So what we want you to do, we want you to take this vow and to offer these offerings at the temple. Will you do that, Paul? Sure. He did it. No problem. But what happened? Some of the Jews from Asia saw him and said, that's the one, get him. So they had him arrested. They were going to stone Paul right there at the temple. The Roman soldiers had to run in and intervene, save Paul from that. And he said, please, may I talk to the people? And they brought him up on a balcony, and here were all the Jews out there. So he started talking to them in Hebrew. Everything quieted down right away. Told them about what he was doing, and then when he said the word Gentile, you read it, there was a riot. They went absolutely bonkers, using a modern term, bananas. And there was a riot. They were tearing their clothes. I mean, I've been accused of having a temper, but never have I been so angry that I've torn my clothes. Okay? That's how upset they got. So, anyway, we come here to chapter 26, and let's... Acts 26. He's saying what he did. Let's pick it up here in verse 9. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue, compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceeding mad against them, I persecuted them, even unto strange cities, whereupon I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest. And then he says about his calling. I tell you, the Jews have a lot of ability. They are very politically shrewd. And when they get the forces mustered against you, look out. Look out. Maybe that's one reason why we're in a smaller group here. I know I would have great difficulty in bringing this to a larger group. Please understand that I would. I know I would. Okay? Now, we come to chapter 28, very last chapter. And let's pick it up here. Verse 17. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said to them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, but because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, I have called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said to him, neither received we letters out of Judea concerning you, neither any of the brethren. Now I want you to notice the close ties the Jews always had. You have to get permission from someone high up, right? I mean, that's the implication here. Keep that in mind. Nor any of the brethren that came showed or spoke any harm of you. But we desire to hear of you what you think, and as for concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. By whom? The Jews. And when they appointed him at a day, they came to him, and he expounded them concerning the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word, well, spoke the Holy Spirit by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, should be converted, and I would heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, and they had great reasonings among themselves. So he stayed there 2 years, preached concerning the kingdom of God. Now that ends the Bible account of the history of the Jews against the church. Now, I won't get into any more of how the Jews are dealing today. I'll let you do that. I will next time, however, pick up a little bit out of this book called Anti-Judaism in the Origin of Sunday. And remember the ghastly things that the Germans were accused of, taking Jews and skinning them alive and using the skin for the lamps of their lampshades for their lamps. That's what the Jews did to the Gentiles, folks, recorded right here in history. So you see, God is not unfair. I don't want to fall into the judgment of God. Lord knows I have my own sins and weakness enough, and you do, and everybody else does, right? So I'm not going to stand up and say we're better than anybody else or we're greater than anybody else, because we're not. We're just not. We're only here because of the grace and the mercy of God. But we need to understand what has gone on. And we're also admonished at the end time about the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. And I think that this will... I know I have a greater appreciation of what Paul went through after going through and just seeing that, realizing what he went through and how many other Christians went through things. And so it's not only just those other pagan Christians we have to fight, but there are also pagan Jews that we have to be aware of. I tell you, I'm glad... I'm very, very glad that I wasn't living back then. You know, lots of times think, boy, I'd love to have seen Jesus. Now, would you really? You know, I suppose it would have been nice. I mean, it wouldn't guarantee you being in the kingdom of God any more than now. And I hate to see all the evil things that are coming on the world, what's happening to the people, I really do. But we can't change what we're living in, the time we're living in. So anyway, next time we'll start getting into some of the scriptures concerning law and grace, and then we will go through certain sections of the book of Romans, and then we'll be ready to get into the book of Galatians. When we get there, I hope you find that all of a sudden these things will open right up to you when you get there, that you will now understand them as you never have before.